Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Jeep thrill seekers, listen up. Save $11,000 on select 2025 Jeeps at Rainbow Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Macomb. Conquer trails or streets in style for less. Hurry to Rainbow Chrysler Dodge Jeep in Macomb because these deals won't last. Get yours now.
All right, here we go. Welcome in to this Thursday edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are with me. Appreciate you being here in the dead of June, dead middle of June. And we did get kickoff times this week. I know it's a little bit of old news. As you guys know, I was off. And so we're just now able to talk about it right here with you. But the kickoff times, and you know, it's debatable how much the time of the kickoff actually impacts the result of the game. However, the schedule paired with the kickoff times for Ole Miss are about as ideal as you could ask for in the SEC. They really are as good as you could ask for in the SEC. Look, I forgot to turn on my fancy little light that I've got in here now. Let's see what that does. You guys ready to see a whole lot of my face? It's bright right away. Whoa, look at that. All right, let me turn it down some. Oh, I love it. Anyway, so you can see me a little bit clearer now anyway. Sorry about that. Hopefully I didn't blow the brightness on your screens right there. But it's about as good of a schedule and a set of kickoff times as you could possibly ask for. If you are one of those people that's going to complain about this one, you're just going to complain for the sake of complaining. So we'll talk about that tonight on this edition of the podcast. Again, my name is Michael Borky. I really appreciate you guys being here. And this edition is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. They're on Exit 40 in Brookhaven, but especially online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That's the website. They have their online inventory listed for you there. So if you're going to make the big purchase, buying a new car, it's a stressful one. It's a frustrating one at times. You want to go to somebody that's going to take the stress and remove the frustration and take care of you like a person. They'll do that at Toyota Brookhaven. They also have a service department Monday through Friday, 7 to 7. So if you need your car serviced and you live in the area, they will take great care of you. But again, you don't have to live in the area. You want to shop somewhere that's going to take care of you. Tell them I sent you. You get $1,000 off on me at Toyota of Brookhaven. Just tell them that I sent you. Great interest rates. They have really, really, really good interest rates on the new Tundra as well. But again, tell them I sent you. Toyota of Brookhaven, I promise you, they will deliver. So I know you guys know the schedule by now, but the kickoff times, we did an episode about the first three. Well, now we have the rest. But let's just go through it quickly. Georgia State, 6:45, the season opener. That's as good as you could have asked for on the first Saturday, especially in a hot late August Mississippi. At Kentucky, 2:30, that's on ABC. Arkansas, 6 o'clock or 6:45, that's ESPN or the SEC Network. You guys already knew those. Here is the Egg Bowl as well. You knew that was 11 a.m. Here's the rest. Tulane, that is a flex game. So flex means either afternoon or night. So flex morning is out on flex. So it's either the afternoon or at night. So September 20th, weather should be a little bit better if you do get the afternoon kickoff. But no morning for Tulane. LSU, that's also a flex. So no 11 a.m. for LSU. That could be afternoon, could be at night. But either way, the important part is it's not the morning, okay? Washington State, it is. 11:45, though, so you get the extra 45 minutes. It's not straight out of game day, 11 o'clock, but that's the SEC Network 11:45 game for Washington State in Oxford. At Georgia, it is a flex, so that's either afternoon or night. At Oklahoma, guaranteed early, so not necessarily 11 a.m., but it's in that 11 o'clock to 11:45 window, and that's a good thing. Oklahoma on the road, we'll get to that more in a second. South Carolina, flex, so obviously afternoon, night. Citadel, that game will kick off at noon. That is the streaming game. Ole Miss chose a noon kickoff for November 8th versus the Citadel. I don't hate that choice, to be honest with you. November, it could be cold, right? You want the sun to be at the highest in the sky. It's not a morning kickoff, and you've got Florida and Oxford a week later. So you kind of want your team to get out of there as fast as possible to start preparing for Florida, but you don't want to kick off too early to be a detriment to people. I mean, if I was really being picky and choosy, I would do like 2 or 3 o'clock for that game, but at least they're not making you be there in the stadium for kickoff at 11 a.m. And again, it's November, so it could possibly be cold. So the sun being out could be a really nice day. So noon, November for the Citadel, that's totally fine. Florida Flex, that's obviously in Oxford. And so that's afternoon or night. And then the Egg Bowl at Mississippi State. You guys already knew that. Black Friday, 11 a.m. This schedule is perfect. It is absolutely, in terms of what you could ask for and expect, this is as good as you possibly could ask for, specifically because of the road games. So two of them are guaranteed to kick off before noon. You have 4 road games. 2 of them are guaranteed to kick off before noon. That is Oklahoma and Mississippi State. And those are 2 games that if you're going to have a season where you're in the playoff hunt, you win 9 or 10 games, which is what people expect now of this program. Those are 2 games that could be sneaky tough that you really kind of have to win. And so to do anything to subdue the environments, even just a little bit, are certainly helpful. 2 of your 4 road games being at 11 or before noon in the morning is outstanding. And then the other 2 could possibly both be afternoon kickoffs. There's a real chance that you play 0 night kickoff road games. There's a chance. But even if Georgia finds its way to the nighttime slot, 3 of your 4 road games are kicking off either in the morning or at 2:30. You really couldn't ask for better. And then the home schedule as well. I know Washington State 11:45, but you do not have a conference home game that is kicking off in the morning this year. It's Arkansas 6 or 6:45, LSU 2:30 or night, South Carolina 2:30. And I guess these could land on the SEC network, but you're really talking about 2:30 or night with these games. So LSU 2:30 or night, South Carolina 2:30 or night, Florida 2:30 or night. That is as good as you possibly could have asked for. I don't know if Lane Kiffin's complaining made this work, or quite simply, if Ole Miss's games are rating better. And because of that, they're getting better time slots. Because as you guys know, viewership is what drives all of these decisions. It's not bias to brand. It's bias to viewership. And maybe those things come hand in hand. But LSU does not get more night home games because they love LSU. No, it's because they love the numbers that get associated with LSU football games. And part of me, when I saw this, I thought, you know, maybe Ole Miss is moving up in the viewership conversation. Maybe this is an indication that the TV networks believe that Ole Miss is more of a draw than they used to be. Because, again, you know, every SEC home game is kicking off at night. I love this schedule. See, and we've already talked about the order of the games and how, from an SEC perspective, the schedule with who you're playing, when you're playing them, are pretty ideal. It's the SEC. You're always going to have difficult games. Georgia and Athens is going to be brutal because Georgia's, I don't know if you guys knew this, Georgia's really good. They have really good players, and they're really hard to beat in Athens. I don't know if you guys knew that. LSU is going to be very difficult, even though it's in Oxford. SEC schedules are always tough. But when it comes to this one in particular, where the games land and who you're playing and where you're playing them, paired now with what time you're playing them, you really could not possibly ask for a better draw with opponents and a better draw with kickoff times. If Ole Miss hits that win total over, if they at the end of the season are in the discussion for the playoff, the schedule, I think, and kickoff times are going to be something that we can point to and say, hey, they got a couple of breaks there. You look around the SEC and there are schedules that are much more difficult than the one that Ole Miss is having to play this year. Look at Mississippi State, for example. They did one of these games to themselves with having to go to Southern Miss, which now is not easy at all. But they're playing Arizona State, who made the playoff, Tennessee, who made the playoff, Texas, who made the playoff, Georgia, who made the playoff. They have 4 playoff teams. that they're having to play. They have to go to A&M and Florida and Missouri and then hosting Ole Miss. That is an absolutely brutal schedule for Mississippi State. There are others around the league. I mean, Florida's is really, really tough, of course, but that's in part because they're playing Miami and Florida State. But still, Georgia's isn't particularly easy either, even though, you know, they're playing Georgia Tech at the end of the season in Atlanta, but not where Georgia Tech plays. They're playing in the Dome. But anyway, long story short, this schedule break's a great one for Ole Miss, for sure. So I know that's kind of old news at this point, but I was gone, and glad to be back and glad to see you guys. And let's get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So if your business needs technology in the office, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you. They'll give you an assessment completely free on me. Just, again, tell them that I sent you. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day. Local loan servicing, decision-making, 16 locations here in the state of Mississippi. It's where I bank, so bank with me at Priority One Bank. How about that picture they got from, oh, here, let me do this too. It won't let me. There we go. Wait. There we go. Okay, now your comments can be displayed on the screen. Sorry about that. How about that picture they got from Grand Canyon? Had a coworker hyping him up big time. And your coworker probably should be hyping him up big time. So I have been like quietly, quote unquote, concerned about when you look around the SEC and how many other programs in the SEC have gotten multiple players out of the portal, really good players, and Ole Miss at one point was the only team in the SEC that did not have a transfer portal commitment. And so we hadn't had a chance to talk about it, but I was concerned, like, what the hell's going on? Why are they not active in the portal? They need to replace a lot of guys, and they are, in terms of on paper quality of a pickup, they are one for one. Grant Richardson from Grand Canyon has decided to go to Ole Miss, and they needed pitching help. You guys saw it. They need starting pitching help. I mean, I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion. Now that I said this, by the way, unfortunately, I hate to tell you. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Hunter Elliott is just completely, just definitely out of here sold for sure. But even if he is, getting a lefty like Richardson with the kind of stuff that he has is huge. I mean, should be an immediate weekend rotation guy. Multiple SEC teams wanted him. And so far, so good with the portals. Just one guy. But Smithwick hit the portal, wants to start at catcher, clearly. Not good enough behind the plate to start a catcher at Ole Miss. Good enough to start somewhere, just seemingly not behind the dish in the SEC. Fawley came in and really just kind of took that job completely from him and had him struck out too much, but had a good season at the plate as well. But other than that, very little portal news from the baseball front, but that's a really good one. That's a really good one. Couldn't really ask for much better kickoff time-wise, you say? Yeah, really couldn't. Nothing like watching Borky with the power off at my house again in Oxford. Did you guys get bad storms today up there? We got like a little thunder and rain, but nothing that you could describe as like truly bad, if that makes sense. It's ready for a great fall. Love the content. Appreciate you, Michael. Glad that you're here, man. LSU game is destined for 2:30 ABC, it seems. I will be honest. I do think that Vaught-Hemingway Stadium looks its best at 2:30 kickoffs. It's something about the golden hour. I don't know, man. I think that it looks better in the afternoon than it does at night, and mornings should be banned forever. No, I'm kidding. But one thing that Ole Miss fans have done is make the stadium and the atmospheres at 11 a.m. look and feel really good. Now, are they perfect? No. It's very easy to be sleepy at 11 a.m. But in terms of just kind of taking the crap that comes with an 11 a.m. kickoff and turning those lemons into lemonade, I think you guys have done that. I mean, the stadium and the atmospheres have been good for the sheer inordinate amount of 11 a.m. games that Ole Miss has gotten recently. But that hard work and dedication is being rewarded this year. Disappointed for the Washington State fans, a late kickoff may have stressed the Oxford Fireball supplies to a breaking point. Yeah, I've seen a lot of references to Fireball. Am I totally missing something? Are they famous for that? I do not understand at all those references. So I just kind of I didn't ask. I was afraid to ask. So is are Washington State fans famous for Fireball? I don't get it. But yes, that is very, very unfortunate for the ones that are going to make the trip. That's a long trip, and that's 9:45 in the morning for them. And, you know, the body clocks on the players, that's kind of tough on them too, if you think about it. So, that is unfortunate for them. Part of this new ABC ESPN deal puts so many more high-level games in the daytime for ratings purposes. Yes, and the super late kickoffs do not rate well. You know, the college football sicko out there loves Pac-12 after dark, or may it rest in peace. The Pac-12, I guess, is hanging on by a thread with the addition of Boise State and others, but Pac-12 after dark was very popular among college football sicko fans. It was not very popular for television audiences. They did not rate well. The 8 o'clock kickoffs do not rate well. People don't stay up late for college football on Saturday nights. They just don't. And you, when conversations like this get brought up on the radio show, we have so many people that think that their habit is the country's habit. I mean, it happens with the NFL too. When we talk about how college football is considering starting the season, what week zero is now, or reducing the distance between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs to avoid the NFL. Every time we bring that up, we always get like five or six messages. Not many, but just a few that are like, what are you talking about? College football would do way better than the NFL games. It's like, no. We have many examples of them going head-to-head and the NFL completely destroying it. Just because you and your buddies in Tylertown are big college football fans does not mean that that's what the television networks get numbers-wise. Same thing here. I mean, the college football, I love 8 o'clock kickoffs. Country does not. That's why they don't have them anymore for the big games. Oklahoma game early is very friendly to Ole Miss's chances on the road. Yeah, in Oklahoma the week before, for what it's worth. And now Ole Miss is in Athens, so these kind of counteract themselves, I guess. But Oklahoma is at South Carolina, and that's a week after they played the Texas game. So Oklahoma's got Red River at South Carolina before they host Ole Miss, and Ole Miss is in Athens. So that's pretty brutal too. But you like that Oklahoma has those two games ahead of you in the same way that Oklahoma probably likes Georgia there as well. Noon kickoff in November is fine. It's absolutely fine, especially for the Citadel. Although, I think I've told you guys this before, I'm a Bulldog fan. Well, I don't even know if this hat fits me. See, it doesn't. Look at how small other people's heads are compared to mine. This is a fifth-round draft picks hat right here in the Major League Baseball draft. It doesn't even fit my head. But, my childhood best friend played for the Citadel. So I've got this. I got another one up there somewhere. But I guess I can't bring it down. Anyway, so I would wear that to the game, but it didn't fit my head. So LSU game should be 100% at night. Let's see. The other games that day is the problem, though. This is the real problem. Alabama's at Georgia. Arkansas is hosting Notre Dame. Auburn's at A&M. State, Tennessee, but I don't remember their window for that one. Okay, that's it. That's it. So State, here, let me pull up Mississippi State's kickoff times. I need to find that week, actually, is just what I need to do. What am I doing here? Need to find that week, and I can, or we can walk through that together. Okay, so that's the week of September 27th. All right, let's see. Notre Dame, Arkansas is guaranteed noon on ABC, so that takes care of that. Alabama, Georgia is 7:30, so now you've got to slot the rest of them. UMass, Missouri at night, whatever. Auburn, A&M is afternoon, is what they're calling that. So the rest of them, LSU, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Kentucky, South Carolina are flex. So, I hate to tell you, LSU, Ole Miss is looking, to me anyway, like 2:30. I mean, I guess it could be like the, what is it, 5 o'clock ESPN? It could be that one. But it screams 2:30 to me. Ole Miss is likely going to play all four road games in the daytime. Can't ask for more there. So the Georgia weekend, let's see. Ole Miss, Georgia, that's October 18th. Let's see. Oklahoma, South Carolina, LSU, Vanderbilt already early. Mississippi State at Florida afternoon. Oof, geez. Texas at Kentucky is already the night game. That'll be on the SEC network, right? Right. With Tennessee, Alabama flexed, Ole Miss at Georgia flexed. So it's down to those two. Which one do they want in the afternoon and which one do they want at night? Yeah, I think you're onto something. I think you're onto something. I would bet on Tennessee, Alabama being at night. At Oklahoma, being an 11 a.m. kick is great for Ole Miss, no doubt. Not everyone can be LSU and get every game at night. Didn't they get a day game though? Let me look to make sure. Didn't they get a day game? Let's see. Let's see if NOLA.com is going to make me pull up a paywall. I'm not an anti-paywall guy, by the way. You got to make your money how you can, but okay. Nope, never mind. I got to find a different one. Okay, Tigers' first four games of the season will all be at night. Go figure. One of them's at Clemson, though. The Arkansas game on November 15th is an early kickoff. LSU hosting Arkansas November 15th will kick off in the morning. That's so funny. That is so funny. So LSU has more morning kickoff conference games than Ole Miss this year. How about that? Football kickoff schedule is the polar opposite of the basketball SEC-ACC challenge game. Thanks for the 7-1 opponent, ESPN. Yeah, that's Miami's not ideal. That's not an ideal one. At all, especially as you're, you know, trying to build a schedule that can really help with tournament resume. And you would think Ole Miss being a Sweet 16 team, they would help them out a little bit, but I guess not. And yeah, that's a tough draw. Arkansas and State, unfortunately, have been relegated to the worst times and channels for about the whole season. Arkansas especially is 11 a.m. galore. Yeah, it is, and yet somehow Ole Miss was able to get them at night, which, again, is just awesome. That game lately, Ole Miss Arkansas, just in general, has been an 11 a.m., like, afternoon weird game for sure. Compared to last year, I love this schedule. Real possibility that LSU does not have a night home SEC game after Florida. They aren't happy at all, and I'm here for it. They can cry a freaking river. They have been given night games for every home game forever. It's time, you know, karma, right? Is that the word? Georgia also plays a significant amount of games in the daytime. I think we're probably getting one of South Carolina and Florida at night, the other at 2:30. I think personally that 2:30 is a perfect kickoff. I think it's a perfect kickoff time because I think it's best for everybody, right? If you're one of the people that stays in town, you still have what can be a full day of tailgating, right? And the people that drive up and drive back don't have to leave at like 5 a.m. to get there on time. So you can leave at a reasonable hour and still see, you know, the square and the Grove and do all that stuff. And then you can get home at a reasonable hour as well. And to me, night games are the most difficult for people that drive in and drive out on the same day, which is, more than the people that stay in town. Right? So, 60,000 seat stadium, not all 60,000 people have a condo in Oxford. You know, a lot of people are just driving in day of the game. And as a result, I think 2:30 is the best for everybody. Night is really hard on the people that drive up. Morning sucks for tailgating. So, Georgia hasn't lost a home game since before COVID was a thing. That's a wild streak. And it's going to continue probably all season. Let's see. Their home games, if I can find their freaking helmet here, are from the SEC, Alabama, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Texas. They're losing a home game this year. It's as simple as Ole Miss handled their first four opponents, and that LSU game was monumental. I have no doubt Brian Kelly will disappoint and go 9-3, but can Ole Miss get the best of them in Oxford? I mean, if they lose to Clemson in week one, and let's say they lose in Oxford, two losses before the month of September is over, people down there are talking about national championship competing, and they could have – they'll be favored to have two losses before October hits. It's a lot of pressure on that game for Brian Kelly. Talked about it before, but an 11 a.m. Friday Egg Bowl against a state team, which will probably have around three or four wins coming in, is certainly in the Rebels' favor. That could be if they are as bad as the odds makers think they are. Let's put it that way. If they're as bad as the odds makers think that they are, that might be the smallest Egg Bowl, non-COVID Egg Bowl crowd since I've lived here, at least, and probably much long time ago. The ticket sales are not, they're not flying off the shelves there already. But the team struggle, 11 a.m. day after Thanksgiving. If you could go to one Ole Miss game, which one are you going to, home or away? LSU for sure would be the home game. That is just... There is something different about Ole Miss, LSU, and Oxford. It is the most fun I've had around a game ever. And just every LSU game, there's just a different feel. You've got to go to that game. The place is going to be juiced. There will be a good number of LSU fans there to create a little tension. Kickoff time is perfect. They'll be favored, but by a field goal or so. I mean, just everything about it's awesome. End of September, so weather in Mississippi should be incredible. That's the one. And then the other, I'd say go to Oklahoma, just because the opportunity hasn't presented itself. But I think that Lexington is the most underrated town in the SEC. It's a great town. It's big, but there's a lot to do. And, I mean, it's been a while since I've been there, so maybe it's changed. But I just remember it being like really clean and had a lot of cool stuff. I liked Lexington a lot. So like the game day area around the game, it was kind of whatever, but I did really like Lexington for sure. You'll be in Lexington and Norman, so looking forward to seeing both for the first time. If you go to a Mexican restaurant in Oklahoma, the queso is free. They bring it with your chips. Stat of the day. Only three stadiums in conference you haven't been to: Kentucky, Oklahoma, and South Carolina. The in-stadium environment at South Carolina is really good. Columbia has a couple of areas that's fine. The tailgating scene is awful. It's awful. Truly awful. I mean, it's NFL. Unless you have access to the extremely wealthy people that have the cockabooses, then you're just tailgating in a parking lot. I know they've dressed a lot of that stuff up, and it looks a lot better. But I mean, the stadium is. It's very NFL. It feels like an NFL game day there, is what it feels like, to be honest with you. But does look better in the daytime. 2021 LSU with the Sea of Red is the best that stadium's ever looked. I agree. Although, yeah, red crowd powder blue uniforms is the best aesthetic that Ole Miss. Golden Hour, LSU being the opponent. Red out in the stadium, powder blue helmets, powder blue jersey is the best Ole Miss aesthetic there is. How does the Warner rant affect the playoff chances? I probably shouldn't have said that. YouTube will flag this video now. Oh, so I learned something new today. Washington State fans are famous for fireball. Good to know. I had no idea. Half of you thinks Oklahoma is going to be good, and the other half thinks Venables is going to get fired. I lean fired, but I mean, that Washington State coaching staff that they brought in, quarterback and all, ran a pretty electric offense last year. Different animal in this league, of course, but I would lean fired, but I mean, their schedule's brutal too. Talked about brutal schedules earlier. They have Michigan, albeit at home. But they have Texas and Red River. They're at South Carolina. They're at Tennessee. They're at Alabama. And their home conference games are Ole Miss, Missouri, LSU, and Auburn. Ooh. Haven't looked, but you assume the military appreciation game is the Citadel. If it's not, it should be. If it's not, it should be. They're not exactly the same as West Point and Navy. That you do not, if you go to the Citadel, you do not have to serve. After you're done with school, but it is a true military school. Every undergrad student has to do everything military related. So the overwhelming majority of them, I mean, they do go serve, because what's the point of going to the Citadel if you're not going to serve? But you do not have to. Arkansas is so bad they gave LSU an 11 a.m. kick in Baton Rouge. No kidding. They'll put Tennessee, Bama at night, and Ole Miss, Georgia at 2:30. That'd be ideal. The ACC is so bad in basketball, there's only a select few teams who can even match up with Ole Miss. No kidding. I cannot believe the league has fallen off that way. Ole Miss is in that spot where they're worthy to play on ABC multiple times, but they aren't the mega brand, so they're rarely going to get the primetime spot on that channel. That's a step forward, though. I really do believe that this schedule is an indication that the Ole Miss is generating viewership that is satisfactory to the TV networks, that moves them up a tier in the favorable scheduling situation. I'm telling you, TV does not operate in the prism, in any other prism besides what will generate the most viewers. That is the box in which they operate. And so if Ole Miss gets a bunch of good kickoff times, it's because they believe that Ole Miss is going to draw well on television with whoever the opponent's going to be. It's an objective fact. But with Knox and Oxford, will more eyes nationally televised be on Friday nights? I don't know. I mean, don't they have a pretty established quarterback there at Oxford right now anyway? I don't know. Might sound dumb, but do kickoff times adjust anything in predicting what games teams will win and lose? Well, what do you think it's worth? Like, I mean, it's worth a few points that the odds makers reflect that. So I don't know. I honestly don't know how much it's worth. It is a factor, though. It's absolutely a factor. If given the choice, you'd always play at night. If you gave a coach a choice for home games, they would always pick the night games. Always. So there must be some kind of advantage to that. not buying LSU or South Carolina. I have a feeling the league is going to be a lot of mid. I think you're going to have a cluster of 9-3 teams again that are trying to vie, trying to fight for a playoff spot. Ole Miss LSU is the best uniform game in college football. Yeah. Told people for years that Ole Miss LSU might be the best rivalry in the sport because the fans hate each other during the game, but parties are legendary. I do think, I don't know if I've told you guys this before or not, but I really do think that the never lost a party thing really should go away. I really do think that that not to pick on them, but I think softball even. So they made it all the way to the Women's College World Series. They made it to Oklahoma City. And they put something out there. It was like, never lost a party. And it was a picture of some of the fans in Oklahoma City. And it's like, but you lost both games there. And I'm not saying to not like celebrate that accomplishment. It's the first time ever. It's amazing. But the we may not win every game, but we never lose a party is the kind of thing that comes out of losers, people that lose the games often. And there was a time where Ole Miss lost a lot of games, and so that was what you had. You know, it was just, oh, well, shoot, man, at least we're having fun. Right? Team sucks, but we're having fun. Team doesn't suck anymore. Program department doesn't suck anymore. You don't have bad leadership at the university level, and especially in the athletic department. You are elevating your worth. It's what you're doing. You have elevated your worth. Standards have been raised. And so when that happens, you shouldn't talk about the ain't never lost a party stuff anymore. The results of the games are what matters now, or at least that's what should matter now. Well, great, you out-partied them, but you didn't win the game. And I think that directly, that kind of mentality directly impacts environment as well. One thing I've noticed about stadium environments at times at Ole Miss, now it's getting better. The Georgia game was especially awesome. Is I have noticed, this is anecdotal, so maybe it's not like this, but I have noticed a lot of games that I've been to in all three sports, fans are waiting for something to happen to engage. But when you go to an NFL game, like a Saints game before they got incompetent, everybody in the dome, you could feel that they thought the outcome of the game was riding on how much noise they made. Every down, it was, I have to make noise or else this team is going to lose. That's the mentality that fans need to bring to games. And it's not always like that. And it's not like that everywhere for every game. I'm not saying that either. But there is a difference in those two things. And the ain't never lost a party mentality is like, no, just kick back and, hey, if they play well, I'll be excited. But if not, I'm drunk, so it's all good. No. You should walk into a stadium or an arena with the mindset of they will not win without my voice. That's what the Georgia game was like. Everybody there thought they are not winning this game without my voice. And you had Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, which has been almost universally ranked at the bottom of SEC stadiums when it comes to environment, rattle Georgia for four quarters. They couldn't communicate for four quarters. That's what it needs to be all the time for all sports. That's what it needs to be for basketball. The basketball environments aren't good enough. Getting better, but they're not good enough yet. Sorry, kind of ranted a little, but just that the department is has arrived now on another tier. So the environment's got to reflect that now. Not sure how you guys have discussed it, or not sure how you guys have discussed it on the radio show, but I tend to buy into State's huge investment into baseball. Spells doom for Jeff Lebby and their football program going forward. Yeah, State message boards got really mad at me when I asked the question, how do you think Jeff Lebby feels about this? And now the new talking point is they've never invested this much into football before at Mississippi State. Objectively true. But what is that investment compared to their peers? It's 2025. Everybody is more invested in football than they ever have been. But what is that investment compared to your direct competition? Are you closer to them? Because that's what the question needs to be. Not how much money are you investing in the program, because of course it's more today than it was 4 years ago. Because everybody's is more today than it was 4 years ago. Are you investing more relative to your competition than you were 4 years ago? And that's, I mean, I don't know how you can argue that that answer is yes compared to your competition, because that's what matters. Not compared to your past self, compared to Ole Miss, compared to LSU in Alabama. Are you catching up, or are they passing, or are they getting further ahead? That's the real conversation that needs to be had. Not you versus past you. It's you versus them now. But anyway. South Carolina is easily the worst tailgating in the SEC, excluding Vandy, which doesn't count. No, it does not count. You're a powder red, white, or gray pants first. It's a good look also. It's a good look. Expect Tennessee to take a huge step back, like 7 or 8 wins. I tend to agree. For anybody going to Norman, they have a lot of people are going to make that trip, I think, by the way. They have a similar area to the square. One side is college bars. The other is mostly older crowd. Awesome local brewery there and a really good burger place across from it. Nice. So what I'm insinuating is that Texas A&M isn't a real military school. That is exactly what I'm insinuating. I do know somebody here, though, that went to Texas A&M, and he's done multiple deployments in special forces. So he's a real military guy, and he went to A&M. So we have not had the discussion of what I actually think about his institution, and knowing that he's special forces, probably not going to do that with him. Think Oklahoma might beat Michigan? I think so too. Michigan was really talented a year ago and really underachieved relative to their talent and the amount of draftees that they had. Oklahoma fans seem very iffy at best on Venables. They didn't have high expectations coming into the league last year. Yeah, they kind of should be. Kickoff times mainly would affect the Big Ten and ACC teams flying across the country, I would imagine. Oh, yeah, especially the ACC now that they're doing their thing. Always hated the never lost a party loser mentality. Yeah. Ole Miss across all sports spent much of this year losing big games, had no business losing. The never lost the party, we are Ole Miss stuff still holds water, unfortunately. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Don't say it. Don't say we never lost. After you lose, be mad that you lose and go home. Or, okay, not everybody's emotionally invested like that. But what I mean is, after a loss, don't be like, well, hey, we're partying harder. Like, so? So what? Baseball Regional was a perfect microcosm of Ole Miss fandom. The fans were electric for every game, and the team still lets them down. It's hard to stay motivated. I get that. I get that. The crowds were good for that regional for sure. The baseball had a bunch, the team had a bunch of players that couldn't field their position. The crowd was also electric against LSU in 2023, but that LSU offense was so good it didn't matter. Did help to will the team to win, though. Yeah, I mean, they were awesome in the fourth quarter that day. Not saying State made the wrong decision, but it's something that seriously has to be questioned. Football is the lifeblood of your athletics department. Their football coach is only making $1.5 million more than their baseball coach now. Texas A&M could have every game at night and they'd still go 8-4. No kidding. Is Oklahoma the next team to have the whole Lane's got to go stuff pop up? Oh, like if that job comes open, you just laugh and laugh at anybody that even suggests that. Laugh at anybody, because that's not happening. You are right about the crowd. When Kirby Smart said it was an impossible environment, you did something. Man, and you can tell, right? I mean, Penn State has that happen to them a lot. There's a video of Shea Patterson hit the first snap of a Michigan at Penn State game where they had to call a timeout because they couldn't communicate at all. It's from the Skycam. It's amazing, right? Ole Miss had that environment against Georgia where the offense couldn't even think. They couldn't change plays. They couldn't communicate. And it was like that for four quarters. And I didn't know Vaught Hemingway was capable of that. I did not know that. And in part because the way it's built so weird and like shallow that it's hard to trap in noise. That's part of it. But and you hope that people saw it and realized, oh, look at what we can do. You know what I mean? Proof of concept. Yeah, absolutely. Heard an interesting thought on RevShare the other day. What happens to the portal and recruiting for Big East schools and though football and men's basketball is the top sport? They pay a lot of money for it. But it's going to get challenged in court. The people in Tennessee, the AD and the president, they're on the right path. They're on the right path. You have to find a way to collectively bargain and get an agreement in place, because otherwise every restriction that you have when it comes to earning potential or movement is going to get challenged and then lose in court. So this is how it is, man. It's unfortunate, but yeah. And lawsuits have already been filed on Title IX, which that is a slippery slope, I think, for the female athletes and all non-revenue sport athletes. Why do you think you're entitled to revenue that you do not generate? I don't think you're going to like what happens when you try to fight for revenue when your sport loses millions of dollars. I think what's going to end up happening is a lot of sports that don't generate any money or lose millions are going to go away. And that's unfortunate because they do provide tremendous value for young people and the institutions themselves, ultimately. I hope that if and when a breakaway comes, maybe the schools can, like the universities themselves, can sponsor the non-revenue sports and maybe use some endowment money or something to keep them alive. I don't know. Lane's comments after that game make you wonder about how they treated games last year. Yeah, like the Kentucky one. I'll end on that. Appreciate you guys being here. We'll be back on Sunday after the U.S. Open, and it'll be later on Sunday because, you know, it is Father's Day after all, and so my little guy and I are going to just go crazy on Sunday. But we'll be live at some point on Sunday, maybe right at 8 o'clock, but probably later. But I'll see you guys then anyway. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'll see you on Sunday.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.